This is part 5 of a 10-part podcast on your electronic health record and taking control of your own health management. Enjoy the episode.
So that brings us to the Dublin study.
Yeah.
So very exciting to announce that we're going to launch a study here in Malahide in Dublin, where we will be basically invite between 600 to 800 people. So it's limited spaces. And they will take part in this academic study. So the people would like to also come and be tested. So what we're going to do, we're going to provide them with a range of very interesting COVID-19 tests. Okay. For instance, we want to establish and learn for people who think they had COVID exposure or had it, but were never confirmed. So we're going to run 2 COVID studies, that's antibodies for them, 2 different studies. And we're also going to do a test for antigen. People who had vaccinations, right? Do you have antibodies after your vaccination? Good question. So we're going to do that test, which is a very unique test and actually the first CE test approved in the EU. We will be able to access that. The company kindly made that available for us for this study, right? So the whole idea is the person will be able to go on the webpage. They will be able to sign in. They will be able to book and schedule a time and a date that suits them well. In the clinic, we will have facilities for accommodating people to come in, and they will be in the clinic for about 30 minutes. But 4 days prior to this, they will actually start uploading their own information. So when you sign up and you have now your own blockchain electronic health record, you have your own key, just remember the password. Don't lose the key. You'll never be able to open that. And nobody else can open it on your behalf. That's the magic of blockchain, but also the downfall of it.
Isn't that where they say a bunch of Bitcoin is at the moment? It's in these wallets that people have lost the keys or forgotten.
Exactly. So make sure that you do keep your key, because only you can open that key, right? So you'll be able to download the app from Play Store or from your Apple store, and you'll be able to access the program, and you will be able to upload your medical history, your surgical history, your blood test. If you have any of that, you'll be able to put up your allergies. You can answer the questions about general health, etc. But then also there's going to be a number of questionnaires that relates purely to the study and to COVID. That you had it before? When did you have it? Do you think have it? What symptoms did you have when you got it? Right, okay. And then we use the University of London's protocol on establishing 6 different groups of people that had possibly had COVID, you know. So you can select your group from that, you know. All of that collates your electronic health record. We're also then going to ask you to do daily recordings for 4 days. And the basic questions for COVID: do you have high fever, any coughing, loss of smell, etc.? And for 4 days, the people taking part in the study will actually answer the question. They're also going to take a photo of a specific test that we're going to apply, right, and upload that into the system. On the 5th day, you're basically going to come into this clinic and you're going to have a selection of 3 COVID, different COVID tests or post-vaccination tests, right? Your results will be read and you'll be in the clinic for 30 minutes by a professional nurse or a doctor, and the results will be uploaded into electronic health record, right? Now, when that is uploaded, that is now part and parcel of your adjudicated health record, right? So now you can go out, fly out and use that information or share it with any authority or airline or whoever you want.
Through the app.
Through the app.
Okay.
Through the app. But you have control who you show it to and who you want to forward it to, right?
Just a couple of questions before you go on that, Dr. Sam. One thing, obviously, is a question people are going to ask when you mentioned the 4 days leading up to the testing. Mm. It relies a lot on self-testing and self-reporting and self-adjudication. Does that affect the robustness of this system then? When you have people self, not diagnosing, obviously, but self-reporting, one argument would be, well, that's why we go to the doctor, because I can't, well, maybe I can say I'm a bit hot, but I can't tell, do I have an actual active fever? Am I actually, how does that build into the system then when people are self-reporting this information?
Well, it's none different from what's happening now.
Okay.
They will go to the doctor and say, I think I feel a bit hot.
Okay. Yeah.
So what we want to prove, and the question is asked, are people ready to self-assess themselves in a pandemic?
Okay.
Are they or not? Right. What we hope to prove is that of all the people that did this and self-reported, that say, for instance, 99% were actually truthful and actually reported correct. Because remember here, you're lying only to yourself on your own record. Yeah. Nobody. That is your question that you have to be honest with that. And we do believe that most of the public, it's like using your financial system and lying on your bank account and doing transactions and sending money out of your account. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, so we believe in health, people would be serious enough about this and truthfully answer simple questions. But what we really want to show is that the public is actually ready to do self-assessment. And in a pandemic, if you in the future can self-assess and the system is uploaded and you can be pinpointed that you are now developing COVID systems, what if the government or the health sector can then advise you to isolate even before you diagnosed? Based on a proactive system, and this is something that many studies have shown already, it's great to do track and tracing, which is a reactive system. It doesn't prevent really for that person to get it in the first place.
It just tells you, it did happen.
It happened. Yeah. Okay, it prevents other people getting it as well. But what if we can have a system that actually can pinpoint already when it starts to happen?
Yeah.
Right. And this is what we want to illustrate. Is the public ready for this or not? The study needs to show us how much do they engage, how honest do they are they, and how difficult is it for them to do it, and don't they want to do it at all?
Yeah. And I suppose a lot will come down to the design of the questions. They'll be designed in a way that doesn't leave a huge amount of room for error. So you either tell the truth or you don't. You're not going to get it wrong, I suppose.
Exactly. And this is why I involved so many of the universities, because they helped us to develop these questionnaires that is not biased, that is truthful, that is straight, it is simple to understand.
Yeah.
But very important also, we're going to have different questionnaires. If you're, for instance, a diabetic, you'll be able to access diabetic questionnaires that will help you to pinpoint things that changes in your health status over 5 years or 10 years.
So
that is where we really get into telemedicine, for instance, where you don't have to go to the hospital anymore to attend. But the hospital will contact you and say, listen, we picked up you're changing this and this and this. Your dose has changed. You need to incrementally change or increase your dose. That's the ideal where we're moving to. Can you imagine if we can reduce the feed into the hospitals? And even imagine having access to data immediately and information and advice coming back to you based on the test that you just did yesterday.
But it's madness to consider that we have to have this conversation now, because you can buy a fridge today from Samsung that'll tell you, Dr. Sam, you're running out of milk. I'm just going to order some new milk for you. Like this stuff is not space age future stuff. It's real. It's mad that it's medicine is one of the last, well, maybe not the last, but one of the later adopters of this kind of this technology.
For some reason, we fell behind.
Yeah.
Finances are way ahead of us.
Yeah.
Banking is way ahead. Transport and flights are way ahead of medicine. Right. Even the fridges.
Even the fridges,
ahead of us. You know, so it's time that we wake up and realize the responsibility is not that of the state.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility. It's ours, my health is my responsibility. And that is a change in attitude, because I, even in practical practice, see people think, oh, doctor, that's your job. You need to tell me, you know. Actually, it is not.
Well, that's something we've talked about a lot before in a medical context is the doctor will fix me.
The doctor will fix me.
Yeah. But if you engage actively in that process, the chances are your outcome is going to be so much better than just doctor, fix me.
And
just for a bit of clarity, just around the study itself, because I know you're mentioning COVID and COVID testing and all that here. It's not a study on COVID. COVID is the current testing ground for this type of technology. It's very relevant. It's very current. It's a good demonstration. But this, as you said, can be applied to so much more than just the pandemic and COVID. This is talking about the bigger picture of the medicine and information.
So maybe I must give you the, and read, I'll have to read this out because it's too long a sentence for the actual study itself. So the study is called A Prospective Evaluation, an Audit of Practice to Measure the Value of the Use of a Multi-Tiered Blockchain Architecture Electronic Health Record Solution to Improve Clinical Outcomes and Containment of a Disease and to Enhance the Formulation of Evidence-Based Public Health Management Strategies and Guidelines and Reduce Mortality Rates in the Management of a Pandemic, including the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, based on real-time availability of crucial personal health data.
That's the title. You should get it on a t-shirt for all the team. That makes sense, though. It makes sense.
I'll have to go on the back of the t-shirt.
On the back of the t-shirt, on the front and the inside,
Yeah, exactly. So it's a long, what it basically says. If we use something like this, can we illustrate that we can reduce deaths, that we can change outcomes, all right, avoid lockdowns, and that we can enable government and the health sector to create better guidelines?
Okay.
That's the question.
Yeah.
That's what we really want to establish in the study, is to see, can this be done, and will it make a difference?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for listening to part 5 of this 10-part series. If you'd like any further information on the topics of this podcast, or if you'd like to get involved with the research project, please contact Dr. Sam's team on reception@newacell.com.